chapter 6, and I don't know of any other passage that, and certainly there's a lot of passages that talk about the value of the soul, but especially that particular passage, as the Lord has put an emphasis on our value, the fact that God will take care of us, that God sustains us, and we don't have to worry about things of a material nature, that God will certainly take care of us in all of those things. So I told you this morning that we would look at part two of this lesson and finish it up by looking at six or so more reasons as to why our soul is valuable. And I hope that each and every one of us can see ourselves in this sermon. I know that it can be discouraging along the way, especially when we think that everyone is important but ourselves. I know how easy it is to feel that. And I've talked to several of you who have had those types of thoughts and feelings along the way as well. That we can see God's forgiveness for everyone but ourselves. That we can see the value in everyone's soul except for ourselves. So I hope that this will somehow, in some small way, help us to see that each soul is valuable. The first one that I've got on here is, your soul is so valuable that God allows time to continue. I've talked to you about that before. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 15 is a good passage that shows forth that God is long-suffering to us. You'll recall in verse 9 he says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that the day of the Lord will come. You've read that passage. But I want you to notice and key in on verse 15 when he says, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." I know, and you know, that the Lord is going to return one of these days. I don't know when. And neither does any other man know when the Lord is going to return. But the fact that the Lord allows time to continue is evident of his long-suffering. I've asked you to think about in sermons past, what would happen had the Lord brought an end to all things before you obeyed the gospel of Christ? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. How anyone could walk away with the idea of limited atonement when you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and read what the Bible says concerning that point. And so God allows time to continue, because he's interested in each and every soul of man. But not only that, your soul is so valuable that God had an eternal plan for your reconciliation. We touched base on that this morning. That the things that transpired in the life of Christ and the fact that he came to the earth as a perfect sacrifice, we looked at Hebrews and talked about that for a little while this morning. That he shed his blood willingly on the cross for the remission of men's sins so that they could be remitted, Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, is a testament to the value of man's soul. I want you to think about all the ways in which God has demonstrated his mercy and his grace toward mankind. Think about that. Our soul is so valuable that God, from the foundation of the world, even before, had a plan whereby he could reconcile man unto himself. And that plan is to be made known by the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made known or manifest in these last times for you." Think about that. About how valuable you are in the sight of God. So valuable that God had a plan. You think that God even knew before he created Adam and Eve what they would do? You think he did? Why the remedy foreordained then or established before the foundation of the world had God not known that? Sure, he knew those things. I told you that on the TV and radio program, we've been doing a series of lessons in obedience to the Lord's command. And you think about the magnitude of a sermon like that, or a series like that. There's all sorts of things you could put under there. The fact that the apostles were where they were at in Acts chapter 2 was in obedience to the Lord's command. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles on that day was according to the Lord's plan. The message that was preached was according to the Lord's will. The fact that people were added to the church were according to the Lord's will. The fact that they went forth even under persecution, Acts chapter 4 and 5 and beyond, Acts chapter 8, and preached the message that they did was in accordance to the Lord's command. The establishment of the church, the organization of the church, the worship of the church, all of those things was in obedience to the Lord's command in accordance to His will. Think about all of those things. And so each and every one of you are valuable in the sight of God. This next point is one we ought to pay attention to. All of them should. Is that your soul is so valuable that the elders of a congregation are charged to watch out for it. To watch for it. According to Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. What a blessing that it is when we can have individuals who will do that work and watch out for our souls. Recall the conversation that the Apostle Paul had with the elders of the church at Ephesus when he called for them from Miletus. And he had that conversation with them in Acts chapter 20. He had some admonishing to do. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why? For I know this, that after my departing, he goes on to say, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Watch therefore and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He knew what was going to happen on down the road. And then he would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 beginning in verse 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 beginning in verse 1. And encourage him to do the work of an evangelist because the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. Your soul is so valuable in the sight of God that God in His wisdom, in the organization of the church, set it up so that individuals would be charged with the task of watching for you. That's how valuable our soul is. But that's not the only thing I want you to think about. I have at least three more for you. Our soul is so valuable, in fact, your soul is so valuable, that Christ offers rest for it. It's not all about the here and now. Some of those in the world want you to believe that when you die, the grave is the end of man, don't they? Some of you that are either off already into college or recently left college or on your way to college, you're going to see that. This is all it's about. Eat, drink, and be merry. Might as well enjoy life. By the way, you only live once. There's more in store than just the grave. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you're familiar with that. But as it is appointed unto men once to die, did he put a period there? After this, right? After what? Death. The judgment. Our soul is so valuable that he offers rest for our soul. One of the great Bible invitations, I use this on a Wednesday night Bible invitation from time to time, is Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what, Lord? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, Hebrews 4, 9. Right saith the Spirit, or yea saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them, Revelation 14, 13. That's how valuable your soul is. How many of you get discouraged along the way? You don't have to raise your hand or answer out loud. Is there any among us who never have heartaches and ups and downs and have to walk through the valleys from time to time? We all do. For a number of different reasons in a number of different ways. And one of the things that encourages me as a gospel preacher, just as a Christian in general, is the fact that I know when this life is over, there's rest. And that rest is not something that I have to worry about. We'll be here today and gone tomorrow. That time will be swallowed up in eternity, and we can be there in the joys of the Lord forever and ever and ever. That's how valuable your soul is. But not only that, your soul is so valuable that the Lord adds you to His church. Many sermons could be presented along those lines. I agree with the notion that the church is the greatest institution known to man. It's prophesied about in the pages of the Old Testament. A host of passages talk about that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and Isaiah 2, Joel 2, and others. John the Baptist and the Lord preached about the coming of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and Matthew 4, and verse 17. Jesus said to those present on that particular occasion in Mark 9, verse 1, told them that some of them would not die. They would not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. And that the Lord promised to build His church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Then in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood before that great assembly of the Jews on that occasion, he preached to them about Jesus. And he put the responsibility of crucifying them squarely where it belonged, and that was on their shoulders, didn't he? Acts chapter 2 and in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and asked what they had to do. And Peter told them what they had to do. About 3,000 of them responded to that message, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And when they obeyed, the Bible says in verse 47 that the Lord added them to the church. I suggest to you that your soul is so valuable that the Lord adds you to the body of the saved when you obey the gospel. Are you thankful for that? I am. Because I know in a lot of passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24 that the Bible says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father, and put down all rule and all power and authority and so forth. So I know unless I'm in that kingdom that I'll not be delivered to the Father when the end comes. So I'm thankful for the fact that I'm so valuable in the sight of the Lord that He would add me to His blood-bought church, Acts 20 and verse 28. That He's the Savior of Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 24 and 25 talks about that. And no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 11. And so, I know without having a haughty attitude or any pride or arrogance at all, that I'm valuable enough in the sight of the Lord that He would add me to His church, and so will He you when you obey the gospel. And then the fact that you were purchased with the blood of Christ. We also touched on that briefly this morning. Acts 20 verse 28, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. That He died for you. Remember that point this morning? Jesus died so that you might live. I will build my church. And He never promised to build, die for, endorse any other institution, any other church than His own. And so you're so valuable that the Lord will add you to His church, and that you are purchased with the blood of Christ. That has to do with your redemption. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that. So does Paul in the book of Colossians. That by His blood, by the cross, we have redemption. We've been reconciled. It means to be brought back in union with someone or something. In that context, with God. I hope that we are thankful for those things. That we'll think about the value of our soul. I'll tell you something else that does in not only encouraging me to do the work that God would have me to do, and knowing that it's not to no avail, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, but that encourages me to talk to other people to the best of my ability. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man minister, let him minister with the ability which God, or if any man speak, Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the ability which God giveth. And so that ought to encourage us to talk with someone. Listen, we're not going to win every conversation. We're not going to win every argument that we get into with someone. And by argument, I don't mean anything bad about that. Every debate that we enter into, we're not going to win. I have constant reminders about that. And I tell you that sometimes you'll walk away from a conversation feeling like an utter failure. Not because you failed yourself, but because sometimes we feel like we fail God. But it's not to no avail. We do the best we can with what we have, what God has given to us. And the value of others is so valuable, their soul is, that I'm willing to talk to them about the condition of their soul. And I hope that you are as well. I hope tonight, if you're not a Christian, that you'll become a Christian. This hasn't changed from this morning. It's the same invitation. And it's the same invitation that I'll continue to give to you for as long as I'm with you. That you hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, or Acts 3 and verse 19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. And be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Folks, there is no other way to be added to the Lord's church other than to do those things. Maybe you have done that, but you're falling away. You turned your back on the Lord and you've backslidden. You turn back out into the ways of sin and you're no longer living for the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer. Simon was instructed to do that by Peter in Acts 8th chapter. Repent, pray to God that if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And we have the assurance that if we confess our sins unto Him, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for that. And we stand at the ready to assist you in whatever way that we can in your obedience to the gospel as together we stand and sing.